Hey, gorgeous. If you want success on your fertility journey, you've got to have the mindset for it. It's time to kick fear, negativity, doubt, shame, jealousy, and the whole clown car of low-vibe fertility journey BS to the curb. I'm your host, Roseanne Austin, Fertility Mindset Master. Former prosecutor and recovering type A control freak perfectionist, I use the power of mindset to get pregnant naturally and have my baby boy at 43, despite years of fertility treatment failure. I help women across the globe beat the odds on their fertility journey just like I did. Get ready for a quick hit of confidence, joy, feminine badassery, and loads of hell yes for your fertility journey. It's time to get fearless, baby. Fearlessly fertile. Let's do this. Welcome to the Fearlessly Fertile Podcast, episode 265. From genetic incompatibility and recurrent miscarriage to beach life with baby, Joe's story. Hey, loves, I am absolutely thrilled to be back with another amazing testimony from one of my miracle mamas. Aren't these women just incredibly inspiring? Like, I hope that you are taking their generosity to heart and really taking the time to listen carefully to what they're sharing about how they overcame insane odds. Because, look, this journey is a journey of resilience. And every time you listen to one of these women's stories, you're learning more and more about what is possible for you and how you're not limited to statistics. You can completely give the statistics the finger, and the key component to doing that always starts with you. Your brain is portable, mamas. The way that you think is dictating so much about what you perceive in this life, how you experience what's going on in this journey, and most importantly, how you make some fucking decisions. And I love how you guys get to meet my beloved Aussie Joe. I mean, seriously, you cannot fuck with Aussie women, okay? I have so much love for all of my ladies, but I have an extra special place in my heart for Aussies and Kiwis that have to get up at like dark o'clock to participate in my programs, but they are that gangster. They are that gangster. So what you're going to be hearing in Joe's story is all about resilience. Joe is going to be sharing how she and her husband struggled with recurrent miscarriage, and they found out there was a genetic incompatibility and they were going to have to do all these things. But underneath it all, her heart was clear that she was having a baby. And when she really began to think and believe like a woman who succeeds on this journey, she opened up a constellation of new possibilities. She was going beyond what the doctors in Australia were telling her was possible for her. You're going to hear about this adventure she took. She went to New York and discovered this incredible aspect about her uterus that nobody else could find. And she also started making big changes about the way that she was living. And she's going to be sharing a little bit about how making this move, making a decision to live differently, really ushered in a brand new chapter in her fertility journey. So get ready for some inspiring shit. And here's the deal. If you've been listening to this podcast long enough to say, you know what? I want what those ladies got. Well, go to my website, www.frommaybetobaby.com, and apply for an interview there. Let's see if we can help. Because here's the deal. If you're committed to getting and staying pregnant in the next 12 months, what you're currently doing needs to be leveled up. You got to learn to think, believe, and take action like a woman who succeeds on this journey. And if you want me to teach you what I taught Mama Jo and all of the miracle mamas here, go submit your application now. My gang of miracle mamas will tell you that working on mindset was one of the best investments they ever made on this journey, because it wasn't just about investing in themselves. It was about their families and the families they long for. Yep, this mindset shit is that powerful. Here's my conversation with Mama Jo. Okay, Jo, this is an episode that I think that we have been both looking forward to for some time now.
Yeah.
So let's start off by you sharing a little bit with the ladies listening about how you found yourself on this journey and how we met.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I think I was definitely that person that was just like, oh, well, if I have kids, I have kids. It doesn't matter. Like, we'll be fine. We'll have a good life either way. And then, so my husband and I traveled. We had a great, we did have a really good life. But then as I got a little bit older, the sort of desire started creeping in a little bit more. And so we started trying for a baby. Didn't work as quickly as we would have hoped. So we ended up seeking a little bit of fertility assistance fairly sort of quickly. And then, of course, we had that miracle while we were waiting to do a treatment. We fell pregnant. But then, unfortunately, we lost that baby sort of just towards the end of the first trimester. And I think from then, my like mama bear instinct just kicked in. I was like, oh my God, okay, I want a baby. I'll do anything to have a baby now. It totally just changed me. And I knew from that moment that being a mum and having a family was important to me more than it probably had been in the past. And so that sort of, you know, once we got over the loss, we started again looking back at fertility treatments. And then I was obviously searching around, looking at different things. I'd always had a fairly holistic approach to health and lifestyle. So I was looking for that, you know, something else about mindset or what I could be missing outside of just, you know, trying to make a baby. And then, yeah, I came across your book, I think, originally. So I read your book. I remember reading it like I was in Bali on a holiday and just like going through it, I think, in like 48 hours, just like knowing that this was something that would help me. I obviously didn't always know exactly how, but I knew there was gold in there for me. And then I think probably like a lot of people's stories at the moment, the world closed down. COVID happened. I think it was literally like we flew back from Bali and, yeah, it was all starting to go haywire. And so we were sort of stuck. Our clinic closed down and then we were looking for other clinics, and there were some really, you know, clinics that were advocating to keep treatments happening at that time. And then, so yeah, we sort of got into the rat race, I guess it was IVF back then. We were naive and excited. And I think in May 2020, we did an IVF cycle and it all looked pretty good. We fell pregnant the first time. Again, we're like, oh, we're heroes. We only have to do this once. Like, this is going to be great. But then, yeah, we ended up losing that baby as well. And it, I think from there, things just, the sort of glow of everything just washed away pretty quickly. I was like, okay, this isn't going to be as easy as I'd hoped it would be. And I just felt like I needed more support. So I think it was, yeah, not long after that cycle, I think around sort of September 2020 probably, that I reached out to you a bit more and we chatted, and then I joined your 8-week coaching program. And I think for me, I think the calls were at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. So I guess.
But you were gangster enough to do it, Joe. You were exactly. Gangster and so committed. I mean, I think this is an interesting point. It may sound silly to other people, but the fact that you were willing to get up at dark o'clock at 3 a.m. without any excuses and loving yourself and loving your vision for this family enough to get your ass out of bed, like that's what you were willing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it definitely showed me then and there. I was like, okay, you're actually like, you're in this. You're not just, it's not just something to do. Like it's a big commitment. And yeah, I knew that I needed that extra push and support, and, you know, started to meet other women in the group. I still talk to Robin almost every day, that I met her through your program. And it was, I think you were so gracious. You'd let all of us go first so we could ask our questions. And then if we couldn't stay up, we could listen to the recording a bit like later on of everyone else's story. Yeah. And so that was September. And I think that sort of took me through to the end of that year. And then I started then continuing working with you through coaching more directly. Again, I think like most women doing this, like I had that, I was like, it's going to happen within a year. Like I'm doing this, like doesn't matter. And, you know, that doesn't always work out that way. But I think I was just that person that was willing to just do whatever I needed and look at different ways of doing this, because it's not easy. Like it's something I never thought I'd experience, and I didn't understand the magnitude of it when I walked into it. But yeah.
And you're here now, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm glad I did it and would do it over again.
Think about this. Like, this is so important. This, like, you're just dropping bombs, whether you realize it or not. Like, but this is such the Joe way anyway, you know, kind of like fly under the radar, but like brilliance everywhere, is that you made a decision. Because at that point, you know, like, think about it, like we were talking about before we started recording. I mean, here you were once a listener and now you're a guest. That doesn't happen because you have a short attention span.
Yeah.
So that happens because you've made a decision, and it's less about like how fast it happens. What matters is that it does. And you had the kind of resilience to keep going. You found another gear within you to keep going. So let's talk about that. Okay. So by this point, you had tried IVF, you got pregnant, you had a natural pregnancy before that. So share a little bit about, you know, what were the next steps for you, and how did you start applying this mindset stuff to take you to where you are today?
Yeah. So I think we then, you know, we've had a good sort of first cycle. We did more transfers. Unfortunately, we started a trend, I guess, started appearing, and we would fall pregnant, we'd get the positive test. But then, you know, a few weeks later, usually before we'd even get to a scan stage, the numbers would start dropping and the lines would start fading. And yeah, and so we, you know, we just kept losing these babies that we worked so hard for. But no one could give us a reason. Like, everyone was just like, oh, you know, you're getting older, it just happened. Like, and these are the professionals, like these are the ones that we look to for the answers, and they just didn't have any. And I think I was reflecting on this, and I think the biggest thing that I got initially out of this program was the advocating. They're like, it's okay to not think that doctors know everything. It's okay to question them. It's okay to get a second, third, 12th opinion. Like, it's your journey, and no one wants it more than you do. And these doctors, like, they're, you know, gosh, they're all so busy, and they're not, you know, I think they're trying to do the best, but they don't know everything. And so, yeah, I think we, with that first clinic, we did a number of cycles, because I think we were just, you know, we thought it'll happen eventually. We're getting so close, like, it, you know, it's there for us, but it was just always that little bit out of reach. And then we made a decision. I think even by then I was starting to, you know, I joined some Instagram, like the Instagram IVF community, and we're looking for everyone else's experiences and what doctors they saw and what advice they were getting, and just really became a bit of an expert in all things, I suppose, in that unexplained category, or unexplored, I think, is a better explanation.
I love that.
There's always a reason. We just haven't found it yet. And yeah, so I started really just becoming that person that was advocating, researching, asking questions. I started seeing different doctors. I started demanding certain tests. And so we sort of got a little bit of a glimmer. There was like this random gene incompatibility that my husband and I shared. And there was a doctor in Australia. I think there's two doctors in Australia that treat us for it. So we moved across to him. So that was doing, you know, crazy treatments, like, was it doing LMIT or LIT treatments? So injecting my husband's white blood cells into my skin. Which I think it always made me laugh, because it's allowed in Australia, but it's actually not allowed in America. So I thought that was interesting. I'm like, it's not like us to be doing something that you're not. So yeah, so we started going down this really heavy, I guess, immune protocol, trying to stop my body from rejecting the embryos because of sort of that incompatibility between my husband and I. And they were like, they were no joke, these protocols, like, you're on high dose steroids, you're on all these drugs that they, you know, treat for cancer patients. And it was all very like overwhelming, I guess. But you, again, you're like, I'm doing it. Like, I'm doing all the things, like, whatever it takes sort of thing. And, yeah, so we moved across to this other doctor and we thought, yep, this is it. This will be what we need. And then, again, did a couple of cycles with with him. But same result. We kept getting pregnant and then having early losses. And so we were sort of like, okay, what is this? Like, what do we actually need? And then there was a girl that I followed in America, and she had a really similar story to me. And she ended up seeing, I kept just seeing this doctor's name everywhere. And she went to a doctor in New York, and he did surgery and found something actually physically in her uterus that was causing these losses. And then again, he popped up. You interviewed him on one of your podcasts, and I was like, okay, this guy's everywhere. Like, I have to talk to him. Yeah. And so I'd listened, and he was doing some more like interesting things. He was doing like the ovarian PRP. I was like, okay, I want to know more about this. And yeah, and it was just like the universe just kept telling me, I'm like, you have to talk to this guy. Like, he's got something to tell you. And so I booked in. So Dr. Murphy in New York, booked in with him. And I think when you've seen so many fertility doctors and, you know, other doctors and things, like, they all have a certain way about them. But Dr. Murphy, it was like he was sitting next to you, hugging you through the whole consult. Like, we're on the other side of the world, and he was just lovely. Like, and I think finding doctors like that are very rare, but also just so special, because, you know, like, you're being listened to. He's not making any assumptions based on anything. He's just there and wants to help you, like, genuinely wants to help you. So, yeah, we talked to him and we told him our history, and he was just like, nah, I don't buy it. I don't think it's your embryos. I think, you know, you wouldn't be falling pregnant so many times if there was something that, you know, really wrong. And yeah, he said, I think there's something, you know, structurally wrong inside your uterus. And I was like, okay, like, I've had laparoscopies, I've had hysteroscopies, like, how could there be something that these doctors haven't found? And he was very confident, and even to the point that he said, come over, I'll do a surgery, we can do the ovarian PRP as well. And if you don't have he thought I had a septum that I would have had from birth. He said, if you don't have it, I'll pay for your flight. I was like, okay, this guy's confident. So I was like, how do you pass that up? We sat on it for a little while. We thought, you know, it's a big deal. It's a fly across to the other side of the world and have surgery. And again, we live in Australia where our medical treatments are paid for, and to go over and, you know, go to a different country and pay for it yourself. But, you know, all these things that were coming up. But the biggest thing for me was, like, I could go and get it done here in Australia, but I'll never trust the outcome unless Dr. Murphy does it, because he was so convinced and so sure. And, you know, I knew that even if I didn't have what he thought I had, that he would have done his best to find it. So that just sort of sat with me, and I was like, okay, we've just got to do this. So, yeah, it was in April this last year, 2023. We jumped on a plane and flew to New York. And, yeah, we made the most of it. We planned to have a holiday while we were there, and we went out to LA and spent time with some friends afterwards. But, yeah, I went in for this surgery, and, you know, it was relatively quick, painless procedure. And then, yeah, I came out, and yeah, he showed me a video of this septum that he found, and I was just like, no, I can't believe it. Like, how could you know this from the other side of the country without physically examining me? And it was just wild. Like, he videoed it, and he showed, you know, how he could see where it was, and then as he removed it, there was just this, like, massive blood flow that just came into that certain part of my uterus. And I was just like, of course, like, no wonder these babies weren't surviving, because it was basically the top half of my uterus that just had no blood flow.
Wow.
So yeah, and I think seeing that visualization of what he did then just stuck with me. I was like, okay, everything's fine now. Everything, we have everything we need now. And, you know, even visualizing around embryo transfers, like you could physically just see this beautiful, you know, uterus that was working properly. So yeah, I just remember bursting into tears when he showed me the video. I was just like, how did you know this? And so grateful that we made the leap and the decision to, you know, fly across the country, or not across the country, across the world, to see this, you know, confident doctor that had answers for us.
Well, look at that, Joe. I mean, like, that is beautiful. And we love Dr. Murray. He's such a compassionate human being, such a gifted physician. And you had to be willing to take that leap. I mean, can you imagine, like, because think about what you had said earlier. Like, I mean, I've had laparoscopies and endoscopies. I've done all this. Like, there had to have been something within you, a level of resilience that you had to cultivate in order to be willing to get this new piece of information, to take that risk. Like, dude, because that's huge.
Yeah, it was. I had my own thoughts, and everyone else was like, oh, surely doctors in Australia know what they're doing. And maybe they did, but they'd let me down so many times. I was like, no, I'm getting the best. I'm going to go further to get that reassurance that I need, because what else are we doing here otherwise? Like, yeah.
Well, it's not even like it. It's just, am I willing to have some other opinion? Am I willing to open up to the possibility? Because nobody, I mean, like, when I think of everything that you went through, Joe, your love for these babies and your love for your vision for your family was so strong. And you didn't let that get in the way. I mean, all the heartbreak that you had, it really seemed to me as an observer, because I've had the good fortune of getting to know you over this time, is your belief, even in the dark times, like there was a part of you that held on to this dream and was willing to stick it out. I mean, what do you think that is in you? Because like the women listening are to be like, how did she go through all of those things that she went through? Like, how did she keep going? What do you think that was?
Yeah, and I've been asked that a lot too. And I think about it, because I don't know that we always 100% know like what it is, but I always just, it's like this knowing in my heart that there was our baby was out there. And I mean, they were showing us so much, how much they were trying to get to us. And I never once doubted that, like, I had, you know, there were moments of doubt, but I think deep down, I always knew there was, our baby was out there. And I believe that, you know, we would find a way to get to them. But yeah, just that knowing. And I think as well, like, apart from that sort of spiritual, emotional side, probably just a downright stubbornness too. If I'm completely honest, that, like, I don't like to lose. And it's not a competition. It's not about that. It's more that this is something I wanted in our life. I pictured our life with this baby, and I wasn't stopping until I got there. Like, obviously there would be an end point at some point, but that wasn't where I was at along the way. Like, there was always a part of me that's like, no. We've still got it in us. We're still doing this because that baby was, you know, we were connected to them. We were talking to them. Like, they felt like they were already here with us, even though we were still, you know, looking for them physically. We had that really strong emotional and spiritual connection with them. And that, you know, that came from work too. That, you know, I did some work with hypnotherapists and spirit baby healers, and, you know, just again looking for ways to help navigate through the dark times. Yeah, I'd say a belief, and then definitely stubbornness.
Wow. I love that. So you had the surgery with Dr. Murray, and that was in April.
Yep.
So then tell us what happened next.
Yeah, So we come to the end, sort of, I think we didn't have any embryos left at that point. So we knew we had, and obviously doing that ovarian PRP was to hope, you know, hope that we could then make, go back, do some, get some good quality embryos. So we came back to Australia and did another IVF sim cycle. And I think we ended up with two embryos, and we did another transfer. And again, unfortunately, we had the same outcome. We had another early loss. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not what it was. You know, I was like, I thought we had the miracle answer, but, you know, I guess it didn't work that time. But we still were like, okay, we're there. We're still here. We're getting closer. And then I think almost immediately after that, we fell pregnant naturally. And we're like, okay, wow. This is like, it was, you know, heartbreaking, but also very reassuring. We're like, okay, so something's happening. Like everything, you know, it keeps trying to happen for us. And so, yeah, I think, but, you know, as positive as that felt, it was also probably, I feel like, one of the darkest times that I had in this journey. I was just miserable. I was like, no, like we went to America. This was supposed to be our magic pill. It was going to work. And then, you know, back-to-back losses was just devastating. And I think it was June by then, and the middle of a very cold and miserable winter where we were living. And I was at that point, I'm like, okay, something has to change for us. Like, I can't keep living this way. Like, you know, everything was focused on treatments and what we were going to do next. And so my husband and I made a decision that we were going to move. And we'd had this on our minds and hearts for a number of years. We'd bought a property up in Queensland, so in the northern part of Australia. And so going from like a cold climate to a very warm tropical climate. And it had always been this sort of this thing that we had, that we're like, oh, once we get pregnant, we'll move. Once we have our babies, we'll move. Like, and so it was like, we'll go next year. And then we still weren't pregnant, so we wouldn't go. And it was just this thing that we kept delaying. And I got to the point, I was like, we can't keep putting our lives, all of our life on hold for, well, you know, for our baby. Because I felt that it was just sending the wrong message as well, that, you know, we were just stuck and miserable and we weren't willing to, like, take those steps. We're taking, you know, we're flying across the world to do things for this baby, but we weren't willing to pack up and move our life for something that we wanted to do. And so I was like, nah, that's it, we're doing it. I don't care what happens next, we're moving. So we made that decision in June, and then, yeah, we ended up moving early sort of November. So it all happened quite quickly, but yeah, we're like, what have we got to lose? Where, you know, I'm lucky enough that I have a business that I can work from anywhere, so that wasn't going to matter. I felt like AD was definitely at a point where he needed a change with his job. He'd been there for like 20 years. And yeah, so I think we made that decision. And then it was like, because I'd said we'd always had that, you know, I'll have my babies in Queensland, but I'll wait until I'm pregnant. And so it was sort of which one was going to come first. And then I was thinking about it last night, that ended up happening. Like, but we didn't have to wait as such, because we still moved to Queensland with our baby in my belly. But I had surrendered that control, and it still happened for us. Like, it was, yeah, sort of surreal that dream that we had still came true, even though we let go of the how that dream was going to happen.
So, like, the bus a little bit. All right. So, you make the decision that you're going to move to Queensland in June. You actually do it in November, but you got pregnant somewhere along the way.
So, we were sort of at that point, we're like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to just keep trying naturally, or will we go back and do IVF again? And so we decided to change doctors again, because That was that gold that I got from the program. And it's the one thing that I always use for my decisions was that if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. And I'd been highly recommended this doctor that we went to, and it just wasn't what I expected it to be. So I was like, nope, okay, I don't care. I know I've changed doctors so many times at this point, but we're doing it again. And thankfully this time it was within the same clinic, so it was quite simple. We didn't have to move embryos and things like that. Yeah, so we moved across to this other doctor, and he was a doctor that I'd followed for a long time. Lots of people loved him and had great successes with him. And we ended up deciding to do another IVF sim cycle. So that ended up being like my 8th sim cycle. Again, I never thought I'd do that many, but by that point we'd had, I think, 7 transfers, and then those two natural pregnancies. And yeah, so we did another sim cycle. He did a few other different little treatments for us. And then we got that the golden embryo. We got a genetically normal, really high quality embryo out of that cycle, which was really exciting. And then we prepped and did everything for this. We were still doing these heavy immune protocols while alongside doing a transfer. And so towards the end of October, we did our 8th transfer. And literally, like, we were packing boxes. I was packing boxes in my 2-week wait. Like, it was a busy time. We even had my mum had moved in at this point, because once we told her we were moving, she said, okay, well, you're not going without me. So they sold their house and moved. They're like 5 minutes down the road from us now. So that's going to be great in a few months. It's great now, but it's going to be extra great. And yeah, so we had my mum and my stepdad living with me, and it was, it was a very different 2-week wait than a lot of the other ones I'd had. And yeah, and it worked. Like, this baby stuck around, and we had really, really good outcomes from the get-go. Like, we had strong beta numbers, good scan. And I think, well, it was actually we found out we were pregnant. We did all the bloods, but then we literally got into the car and drove, like, I think it's 18 hours. We drove to Queensland. And then, it wasn't until we actually got up here that we had our very first scan at the sort of 6-week mark. So it was just, it was insane just leaving, a town that we'd lived in and gone through all of everything through IVF and pregnancy loss in Bendigo. And then, we're leaving this town with this little baby inside of us that, it just felt so surreal, because it was what I imagined doing, but it sort of just happened in a different way. It was like I had to surrender and just get back to living and doing what we needed in a bigger sense.
What was it like for you to really take a step back and look at the fact that you had basically created the life that you actually wanted to live?
Yeah, it was, I was reflecting on this the other day. It was the whole time, like, we bought this property up here 4 years ago, and it was like, one day we'll move up here, we'll have our little babies, and, we'll just have this beautiful, peaceful beachside life. And so that was always the goal. And then, everything took a bit longer than we wanted, and we just kept saying, oh, next year we'll go, next year we'll either be pregnant or we'll have a little baby and we'll move up then. And so we kept sort of kind of putting it off because we were, just living that IVF rat race. And then I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, holy shit, that actually happened. Like, and it was the moment, and we didn't necessarily plan it that way. Like, of course we were still doing treatments and things, but we didn't wait for the positive pregnancy test to move. We didn't wait for the, the ultrasound or the baby to be born. We just decided, enough is enough. We can't keep living this way. I think it was the middle of winter when we decided, and it was freezing cold. I'd literally just had like back-to-back losses, and I was just miserable. And I was like, Mark, I can't do it. I just can't keep waking up every day in the same house, you know, thinking about all the same things. And yeah, so we just went, stuff it, we're going, made it happen. I think we moved within about 4.5 months of that decision. And even in that gap, we still did another cycle. And then we, you know, transferred this embryo. And yeah, to just sort of wake up here one day and go, oh my God, like our dreams actually came true. But it was when we let go that it came true. Yeah, it baffles me still because I am such a planning and, you know, control freak, for want of a better word. And yeah, just having to sort of take your hands off the wheel a little bit and let it happen. It did. And yeah, that's not to say that that's the reason it happened, but it definitely just felt more natural and yeah, special the way it actually turned out.
Yeah. And when you think about that, I mean, because there's a constellation of things, right? You had to, and I think the thing that unites all of this is you and ultimately who you were being, because you had to be willing to go to New York, have that surgery, continue to do transfers, continue to do cycles. You know, it's, yes, it's surrender, but surrender does not mean giving up. It's not like you just threw your hands up and said, well, I don't care about this. Of course you care about this.
Yeah.
This means everything to you, but you are the common denominator because you had to keep going. What do you think that was in you?
Yeah, I think all along, if I stopped and listened, I just always knew we were having a baby. Like I could feel our babies out there. I was talking to them. Like there was just that thing in my heart. I was like, no, like, you know, even doctors, of course, they suggest different things, donor egg, surrogacy, and I just was like, I think I even said to you one day, I was like, I could go to Greece and get pregnant with a donor egg and have an amazing holiday. And I love traveling, but it wasn't what I wanted. And, you know, you'd sort of go back and forth about, you know, how long could we keep doing this? Like, is this the right path? All of those doubts that would creep in. But every time I stopped, it was just like, no, you know, these babies, they keep telling us to keep going. As heartbreaking as it is to keep, you know, losing them. But in my heart, I just always knew there was a baby, there was our baby there for us. Yeah, a big, you know, I think, you know, we've talked about it, but that big hell yes or big hell no, if that wasn't how I felt, I just was like, okay, well, not now. Like, and there was no judgment on if it meant later that it would be a hell yes. But yeah, my heart just kept saying, like, you've got, you know, it's coming, it'll happen. And yeah, I just had to trust that because I don't know what else could we do because I wasn't ready to walk away.
Well, and you're raising such an excellent point because so many people get stuck on the idea of how much longer can I do this? Well, it's like, we're talking about your baby. What the fuck? Like, what are you going to do? Like, just give up on that? Like, do you think you could actually live with yourself if you did that?
Yeah, no.
Like,
no.
And most of the time, Joe, I mean, I'm curious to see what you think about this because anyone who's seriously entertaining how much longer can we do this is not thinking from their heart. They're thinking based on somebody else's judgment about what it means to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because there's all, you know, there's comparisons, there's doctors telling you one thing, there's, you know, even there's always different things. There's your bank account balance telling you one thing. You know, there's the physical side of it. There's all those factors coming in. But yeah, I think that was one of the things I learned along the way was just to stop and listen to what I really wanted because it did get noisy and it did get, you know, heartbreaking and sad and all of those things. But yeah, there was always that little voice inside of me that was just saying, no, like, don't give up. Like, we can do this. And you know, I could say that to myself. I think, you know, if a lot of people were telling me, keep going, you can do it, that would be different. But if I could sit there and still know in my heart, and AD was the same, that he knew, he's like, no, like there's more for our story than this. But yeah, and he, the same, he had that knowing, but he also had the feeling that something had to change, that we couldn't just keep doing what we were doing because we were just miserable, like, you know, and understandably so with what we've been through.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think it's just really fascinating. You know, obviously everyone's story's different. That in some ways almost goes without saying, but it's a powerful reminder. But, you know, when you made that decision to move, that was this sort of closing this heaviness chapter. Like, I'm going to go live the way that I want to live. And that necessarily changes your energy and the energy that you bring to all that you do. And like 4 months later, boom. And now you're 20 weeks pregnant.
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow. So yeah. What would you tell the women listening about this kind of balance between surrender and keeping going? Because, I mean, that's one of the questions that we get all the time is like, well, how do you know? Like, so how did you know?
I think everyone that goes through this, they would know, they would feel that. But I think it is really easy to just block that out because it's like, you know, am I being silly for keeping on going, like cycle after cycle? There's all those doubts and, like you said, saboteurs that come in. But if you actually sit and listen, your heart will tell you either way. Like, and it doesn't mean, you know, your heart might tell you what you're not expecting to hear or it's different to someone else's story. But I think if you do block everything out and listen to that message inside, you'll just know, and you'll feel, I definitely felt a lot of peace with it because we had to kind of let go because we were leaving where all our, you know, our IVF had been done, and it wasn't going to be, you know, a simple just, oh, well, we can keep doing IVF in Queensland. Like, we made that decision that we're moving to do something else. We're not going to keep going back and keep doing cycles. So there was a lot of that coming to terms with, okay, well, maybe this won't work out how we imagined it to. And that was in a way powerful too, because we had to start accepting that, you know, our life could look different to what we expected, but that's also okay because, you know, we've done what we can. We've trusted our instincts. We've followed our hearts to, you know, make those changes in our life. And there was, you know, I think as much as we were letting that go, there, again, you sort of had that conflicting message, like, yeah, but it's okay, it'll happen. Like, there was still that just, no, it'll happen anyway. But yeah, we did. And, you know, people would ask us, oh, what doctor are you going to see in Queensland? And it's like, no, we're not. Like, hopefully we're looking for an obstetrician, but we're not prepared to just keep doing IVF over and over again, because we did have a limit with that. We didn't have a limit to finding our baby, but we did have a limit with that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fascinating because, as we were discussing earlier, I mean, the woman that you had to become in order to get from all of the losses, the failed cycles, you know, traveling and doing all these things, and then taking a stand for the way that you want to live, you changed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a relatively reasonably short amount of time. I mean, those were such incredibly demanding scenarios that were going on for you. Wow. And it's such a joy, Joe, to see you this way now. I mean, so what would you want? Like, if you were going to toss the ladies listening a nugget of wisdom, is what we'll call it, you know, what would you want them to take away from your story?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I reflect back on, and I think I even counted up how many doctors I saw along the way, but was, don't feel bad for looking for a second opinion or feeling like, you know, you have to question what the doctor's telling you, because no one knows you better than you and no one wants it more than you. And so, you know, I think I racked up like 11 specialists along the way, and that's just what we had to do because they weren't doing what we needed. And in the end, gosh, we had to go to New York City to find someone that would look differently at our case and not just write us off for age and bad eggs because we can't prove that anyway. So we'll just say that's what it is. And so just trusting that, you know, if you don't feel right with a doctor, even if your best friend loved them and they got your best friend pregnant or everyone you know got pregnant with this doctor, if they don't feel right for you, don't feel bad about getting a second opinion because, or a third or an 11th, really, because it's, you know, it's precious. What you're doing is precious. What, you know, everything about it is sacred and special. And if your doctor's not there for you and actually committed to look at you as a patient and as a person and as a mother, then they're not the right person for you. And I think I stayed with probably our first one for way too long because, you know, it was just, she was the go-to, and but she was just doing the same thing over and over and nothing was changing, of course. And so, you know, just wish, and I was probably not brave enough then to look for something different. But then once I did, it was kind of a cascade. And I was like, nope, you're no good either. No, you're not it. And it's, you know, it's all just part of our story to get where we got. And each doctor obviously added different parts. But yeah, until we found, you know, the perfect combination, yeah, I just had to keep changing. And, you know, I'd often ask AD, I'm like, is it okay? Can we change again? He's like, yeah, of course. If it's not right, it's not right. Because, you know, you wouldn't stay with anyone else, I think. But yeah, there's just that fear that if we change something, maybe that was, if we had a say, that was our baby the next cycle. And it's like, no, if you're not trusting them enough, it's not going to happen. So I think, yeah, I wish I'd learnt that a bit earlier. But yeah, and there's so much information out there to for other people, like, that'll share their experiences with doctors. And I think, as I said, like, that's how I found Dr. Murphy in New York, was someone else went to him and I was like, ooh, maybe that's what we need. And yeah, just sharing with, you know, friends or family or whoever it is, that to figure out what it might be that's missing and who it might be that will get you your baby.
Yeah. Well, in the end, Joe, it was you.
Yes.
It, you got your baby. You were the woman that was willing to think differently, to believe bigger than anyone else. I mean, that was one of the biggest bombs that you dropped in this interview, was nobody wants this more than you. And if you don't know how to think, and if you don't know how to move past all the negativity and can think critically beyond statistics and having the guts to go, you know, to 11 specialists and say, hey, I'm not stopping. I mean, most people would have tapped out at two, but yeah. You were so committed, and AD was so committed to getting to the place where you guys were finally going to meet this baby that, you know, you were able to overcome so many different things. So, I mean, thank you so much for sharing this with us, because there's so much of what you said that women just need to hear and to see from another living human being that you can live this journey, you can live it on your terms, you can take leaps, and you can still get to where you want to go. But sometimes it isn't exactly predictable, but it's always 10,000 times better than we think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, it'll always be a part of us and our story. But I think, you know, we took the good out of it where we could. Like, we learned so much. I'm such a more empathetic person than I was 5 years ago. There's so many different parts that it, you know, it does bring. Obviously, a lot of it isn't what you would wish on anyone, but it's, yeah, we just had to find the good in it. And, you know, now we're halfway to meeting our little baby. So
I'm so excited. You're going to have a beach baby, girl. You're going to have a beach baby.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for sharing with us. We love you. We appreciate you. And it was so great to share in this story.
Yeah, I was just going to, yeah. So thank you to Roseanne for everything you've done. Yeah, that light in a, you know, sometimes really dark time, to just keep pushing us and giving us faith in ourselves and trusting our, you know, faith that we will become mums. It's very special, and I'm grateful for everything you did for both of us along the way. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, doll. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And I can't wait to see the pictures.
I know, not long now. I just want to know what it is. Is it a boy or is it a girl?
Oh, it's going to be a surprise. A surprise. Well, thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Ladies, 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 I hope that you were paying very close attention to what Mama Jo had to share and that you have taken some inspiration from her story. Now is the important step of taking action. It's one thing to listen to all of these podcasts and all of these inspiring stories. It is another to take the lessons shared and apply them in your life so that you can take, as I said, new action. If you want new results, you have to take new action. And the only place that new action comes from is new thinking. And if it is time for you to get into a place where you are using your brain to your advantage, not your disadvantage on this journey, go to my website, www.frommaybetobaby.com, and apply for an interview for one of my programs there. My methodology, as you have seen with Mama Jo, has helped women around the world make their mom dreams come true. Their results speak for themselves, and every single one of these mamas would tell you, if they could do it, so can you. So it's time to get off the fucking fence and get down to business of bringing your mind and body together to give you the best possible chances of finally getting and staying pregnant. www.frommaybetobaby.com. If you don't have a mindset for success, baby, you got a gaping hole in your strategy. Let's fix that shit and set you up for success. Till next time, change your mindset, change your results.
Love this episode of the Fearlessly Fertile podcast? Subscribe now and leave an awesome review. Remember, the desire in your heart to be a mom is there because it was meant for you. When it comes to your dreams, keep saying hell yes.